This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
On the 22nd of May in 2017, Fairfax Media broke the news that a Melbourne man had tested positive for HIV while on the PrEP-X trial, stating that the news had sparked fears in the gay community about possible resistance to the medication, citing fears about a non-resistant strain of HIV that could affect use of the HIV prevention drug around the nation. Here's how Shannon Power and Dean Beck reported the story here on The Informer.
It's Monday the 22nd of May. We have a couple of huge breaking news stories here in Melbourne, and what a way to bring back The Informer. I'm joined by Dean Beck in the studio about some interesting, I guess, developments in the HIV sector. What can you tell us, Dean?
Very concerning developments, actually. Melbourne will go down in HIV history books as the fourth ever case of PrEP failure. We know that in the previous failures of PrEP, two of those cases resulted in drug-resistant strains.
Sure.
And one of them was a non-drug-resistant strain. We're not quite sure why, but we think that was due to the number of sexual encounters that were engaged in. In this case, we're not sure exactly what has happened.
But what could some of the reasons be other than, a drug-resistant strain that could have caused this to happen?
Well, to date, the only other real explanation is non-adherence. Mm-hmm. So
not taking your PrEP every day.
Correct, yes.
With the PrEP failure, I guess it's really important to know what caused it before we can ring the alarm bells. But should we be worried at all?
Well, we do know that hundreds of thousands of sexual encounters have been taking place whilst taking the combination of drugs that is PrEP. And to date, this seems like the fourth case of it not working for somebody. So it's pretty rare that it would fail. Never has anyone said it's 100% protective. I know that the HIV sector has been working feverishly to do damage control prior to this announcement here on Joy on The Informer.
But I think the important message to get out there is that, yes, this news sort of broke on social media. We've had it confirmed. There's no need for panic. There's no need to get alarmed until we know exactly what's going on.
The minute that news hit the headlines, a member of our community had their voice taken away from them, with assumptions being drawn in the media and on social media about their sexual practices and character and what this meant for PrEP users around the country. At the time, he was the fourth man worldwide to have contracted HIV while on PrEP, and in the lead-up to 1 year since the news broke, he approached us here on Joy wanting to share his story and to talk about what it was like for him. Tonight he talks about what it was like being the subject of a conversation but not able to tell his side of the story as he saw assumptions and misinformation spread about his PrEP use, his character and his lived experience. Now here on The Informer, he shares his experience with me. Let's talk about a year ago. Let's talk about what it was like when you found out you were diagnosed as HIV positive.
I was weirdly okay with it, or as okay as someone could be. I've done the research, or I did the research. I understood that, HIV is not a death sentence, especially with PrEP around. Stigma with HIV has decreased dramatically, even over the last couple of years. I did have some moments of breaking down, but I think that's perfectly normal. It's not something that I was expecting by any means. And I think that was the hardest part, because before I started PrEP, I knew that there was always a tiny possibility that I, when I got tested, that it could come back positive.
So you found out you were HIV positive as part of your regular testing
for PrEP,
from taking PrEP?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so I think once I started taking PrEP, I knew that there was a tiny possibility of a chance that I could still become HIV positive, but the likelihood of that is, it's more likely that I'm going to be in a plane accident.
Well, the reality is that from that kind of analogy, you were the person who was in a plane accident.
Yeah, well, I would much prefer to be HIV positive than in a plane accident, that's for sure. So, what I've said to my parents is, out of the one in a million things that could happened to me, this is probably the best one. You know, HIV is not a big thing. It's, you know, something that you live with, and, you know, as long as you adhere to your medication and stay on top of your health, it's the same but different.
That's a really good attitude to have 1 year on. Being diagnosed as HIV positive is one thing, but you were a person who was on PrEP, who discovered while taking PrEP that they were HIV positive. How long had you been on PrEP before you...
I was actually importing it before the study, so roughly about 2 years.
So you hadn't been on it for like a week or two. You'd been on it for years.
Yes, that's correct.
And then discovered through regular testing, which is a part of what you do when you take PrEP, that you were HIV positive.
Yes. As I said, it was definitely a big shock.
You also had your voice taken away from you because the media got a hold of the fact that, this station included, got a hold of the fact that there was a person who had become HIV positive who had been taking PrEP and then took your story away from you. When did you find out that that was happening?
So the timing couldn't have been any worse. At the time, I was booked in to go and get my first lot of medication from my doctor. And in my head, I had, I guess, convinced myself that everything is the same but different. I'm going from a blue pill to a pink pill. So when I went to the doctor, he laid out the chart and said, actually, you need to take two pills, not one. And I remember that was the point where I just broke down and was begging him to let me go on one pill, because by having two pills, it somehow in my head, it wasn't the same. It was different and it wasn't what I was expecting.
So what was the reason for you having to go on two pills?
Because there was some resistance, which, you know, having drug-resistant strains of HIV is something that's quite common. And usually what they do is they find medication that, I guess, works around that. And it just so happened that, yeah, I had to go on to two pills. So he wrote me the script and then he goes, actually, there's something else I need to talk to you about. A newspaper has gotten hold of it, the story, and that they will be writing an article about it. They did call us and they're trying to find out, you know, who this person is. So I highly recommend that you don't tell any of your friends about this. You don't tell anyone, because there's a good possibility that it will get leaked out into the media. At that point in time, I had completely freaked out and I ended up going back to my friend's house, telling him about everything that had happened, and I was so distraught. I think that was the lowest point that I got to. And then as I was telling him these, I got a notification on my Facebook that something was posted on, I can't remember, it was one of the Facebook groups that I was a part of. And it was VAC making a media release. And in that, the way that it was worded was that there was two scenarios. One was, it's the very unlikely possibility of a drug-resistant strain, so resistant to both medications in PrEP. Or the more likely scenario, they didn't use the words more likely, but they might as well have, that this person wasn't adhering to their medication. This point in time, they didn't know who I was. They didn't know any facts. And actually, both of those were incorrect. And the reality is, to this day, I don't know what happened. And I think they're still trying to investigate. I know that I was definitely adhering to my medication and I was very OCD about it. As for the drug-resistant strain, I was resistant to one of the two medications in Truvada, but the one that was there that I wasn't resistant to should have been enough to, like, carry me over the line and, you know, protect me.
I can only imagine what it would have been like experiencing that, seeing the press releases, seeing the information in the news and the comments that people were suddenly making based on what information they assumed was correct, and having to experience all of that. And did you talk to people about the fact that this was you, or did you have a support network? Because I understand what your doctor's saying when it's saying don't tell your friends, be cautious.
Yeah, I ended up, before my doctor said do not tell anyone, I ended up reaching out to a lovely gentleman that I just so happened to meet the week before, who, you know, was HIV positive and had been living with HIV for quite some time. So at that point in time, I didn't know anyone else that was HIV positive that I felt that I could reach out to.
How long had you been diagnosed?
When I reached out to him.
Well, when you found, when the news was breaking.
So I had found, so I found out, I think it was about 3 weeks before.
Okay.
It was almost like as I was getting over everything and starting to, you know, be able to put a positive spin on everything, and everything's going to be fine and everything's going to be great and everything's going to be amazing, I got knocked down again. And I think the hardest part was reading the uninformed, hateful comments that followed the news article. And I was reading every single one. There were some really amazing and really supportive ones, but especially the first 24 hours, a lot of people were in shock, especially with the newspaper link. I found that, you know, there were a lot of comments saying, you know, I deserved it, or, you know, I got what was coming to me, or I should have been using condoms and it's, you know, my fault. Or there was the other side where, from the PrEP community being quite fearful for their own sake, I think it was easier for them to, I guess, convince themselves that I wasn't adhering to my medication. So therefore, in their head, there was nothing wrong with PrEP. It was all me and my fault. And by putting the blame on somebody as opposed to, you know, the, you know, medication, especially when there was nothing known at that point in time, that was kind of the easiest way, I think. But then it started to make me doubt myself, whether I did something wrong.
The reality is you're not anonymous within these spaces either. So it must have been odd seeing people that you know and communicate with suddenly talking about this, communicating about it, talking about the hypothetical nature and their assumptions of it all, and it being a very real thing for you.
Yeah, having friends post some quite, you know, negative comments towards this person, and obviously not knowing that it's me, these people have pieced the two together and apologized to me since then. But it's, you know, really hurtful. Even though I knew that they didn't know who I was, seeing these comments, I still found it a personal attack, even though they weren't directed at me as such, instead at a hypothetical person.
But you are the hypothetical person.
We are, well, yeah.
I mean, as much as you say is that they're not directed at you, they are directed at you, and it does speak to something greater in regard to people thinking about when they comment online.
It's really easy to, you know, say something nasty or hateful on the other side of a keyboard when you don't know the other person or you don't know who they are. I think once you start putting a face and a backstory to that person, that's when it becomes real. I, you know, would be very surprised if someone came up to me, you know, face to face and told me I deserve what I got.
You're listening to The Informer, and we're talking to the Melbourne man who, last year, contracted HIV while on PrEP.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.